From the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of High Velocity Radio, and this is going to be a good one. Today we have with us Jeff Thomas with Archetype Wealth Partners. Welcome, Jeff.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, before we get too far into things, tell us about Archetype. How are you serving folks?
Well, we are what's called in the industry a breakaway firm from one of the large wirehouses. We spent 25 years at the biggest firms on Wall Street, and we just had an idea about how to serve clients in the wealth management business in a deeper, hopefully more meaningful way, and felt led to start our own company about 3.5 years ago called Archetype Wealth Partners.
So what was your vision? How did you want to differentiate yourself?
Yeah, and we'll probably get into this later. I actually wrote a book about this journey of ours called Trading Up. But the genesis of it was, you know, I was a pastor's kid growing up. My dad was a business guy who was an engineer, MBA, and went back and to seminary in his late 20s and became a pastor. And I kind of had this vision that, you know, if you're really going to serve people kind of in a Christian capacity, well, you do that by working at the church or be a missionary or something like that. But I didn't feel called to do those professions. And so I thought, well, I guess the rest of us, you know, I always identified with my parents' business friends. But, well, I'll go into business and maybe go to church on Sunday, and we'll, you know, we'll just support the people that do the heavy lifting. And so for a long time, about, you know, 15 years, I just put my head down, and I was a CPA with a big public accounting firm, Arthur Anderson, for those that have been around a long time, remember that firm. And then got into the wealth management business with Payne Weber as an auditor, and then became an advisor in 95. So I've been doing the advisory side for, you know, about 27 years now. And so, but about 10 years into that career, I just put my head down. We built the business on financial people, a lot of financial people, because those are the folks I knew from the public accounting days. And a lot of people think CPAs know how to invest money and do financial plans. That's really not what they do generally. So we kind of became what we called the CFO CFO and built a big client base full of financial savvy clients. They just don't have time to deal with it. And so from 95 to 2000, built that business at Payne Weber, built a team there, took it to Morgan Stanley in 2000, stayed there for 17 years. So and then we launched Archetype in 2017. And so for those 17 years at Morgan Stanley, I really had a big kind of change of heart. I kind of got to a point in about 2005 where I was thinking, you know, what am I doing here? What is my purpose in life? I said, you know, I thought if my epitaph, you know, if I got run over by a bus in 2005, I thought, what would my epitaph read? And Lee, I thought it might say, well, here lies Jeff. He made rich people richer. And that's not exactly, I didn't know, Lee, what I was going for, but I was pretty sure that wasn't it, you know? And so really, I was looking for my purpose, really. And I kind of turned to I really just ended up turning to the kind of the faith of my youth. And you know, my father had a doctorate in this stuff, and I felt like I had a second grader's knowledge of the Bible. So really, I just started doing Bible study and a little thing called Bible Study Fellowship. It's just a, you know, you get together with a little small group once a week on a Monday night, and you do a little reading during the week. And anyway, I'd get together and man, through that process, God just really revealed to me that, you know, number one, my success wasn't really all because of me. I'd been put in a situation by my family and just living in America at this time and that kind of thing to create that success. So I was taking way too much credit for my own success, and I was relying way too much on my own pile of money, for my security. And so, through that process, I really realized I felt God calling me to just turn that business over to him, give him credit for it, and start using it and stewarding these client relationships we had in a deeper way. And that just meant talking to them about the purpose of their money. You know, I don't think we were preaching anything negative. We were just building financial plans and investing the money, but kind of by default, Lee, we were sort of saying, well, look, if you get X amount of money, then you're fine. Well, if God wants to take it, he can take it. So we just started having conversations about, hey, what's this thing really for? What is the purpose of it? Let's start using your money to kind of fuel your purpose, not to be the be all end all. And that really revolutionized our business. We started dealing more with business owners, you know, who were stewarding a company. And so kind of shifted from all those financial people into those folks. And finally, in about 2016, about a year before we launched Archetype, I really felt like God was leading us to start our own firm. There's a lot of conflicts of interest at the big firms. And heck, even the most of the advisors that work there don't know that. But we really felt like there's kind of two mega trends happening in the wealth management business. One of them is this move to being a fiduciary. Most people don't like that word. All that means is if you hire a lawyer or a CPA, you know they work for you. They don't have any conflicts of interest. It's not true for almost 90% of the wealth management business. If you hire a wealth management person at Morgan Stanley or Wells Fargo or Goldman Sachs or Merrill Lynch, they represent the firm first, not the client first. And so teams like ours are leaving and creating contracts where we only work for the client first. So that's kind of where we go. And that just allows us to go deeper also with clients. We have a set of services we do the technical planning and investments, but then we also talk about family dynamics and purpose and all of those kind of things. We really weren't able to do that much at those bigger firms. So let me pause there. I just went off. I'll let you react a little bit to that.
Well, are you finding that when you're telling maybe your existing clients, hey, you know what? I know we were heads down and just building this big pile of money for you, and that was great. Wasn't that fun? Now we're kind of want to dive into your big why about why you wake up in the morning and what kind of legacy you want to leave. Did everybody go, yeah, I'm in. That's fantastic. Let's pause that.
That's a great question, Lee. I told our branch manager before we launched our company, when I sort of got this calling, if you will, to really have deeper conversations, I said exactly that, Lee. I go, well, this might be a total disaster from a business standpoint. I'm going to walk in and start telling all our clients their money's not their money. It's God's money and they're just stewarding it. I said, that could be a total disaster. I literally told my branch manager that. And I said, so if our business craters, you'll know why. I said, well, thanks for sharing. Right. And anyway, Lee, the reaction has really been great. You know, everybody's kind of on a spectrum. I mean, I think we all at some point in life, you know, there's that sort of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? I mean, you got to have food and shelter at the bottom, but at the top, you want self-actualization. And we believe at Archetype that really comes from understanding God's purpose and just being all in on what that is. And so, you know, we get clients all along the spectrum. You know, we really deal with these business owners, kind of 10 million plus, having liquidity events that want to be generous. That's kind of our number one niche. But we'll start with them when they've got $200,000. And so sometimes they're 28 years old. Sometimes they're 68 years old and selling the company. So we like, everybody's kind of different age and stage. And some of them are still kind of where I was. I've got a lot of empathy for those young folks, just have their head down building it, and they're just trying to raise the kids and get through the next month and COVID and everything else that's going on with their businesses. So, you know, they're not always ready to talk about exactly what their purpose is and all of that kind of stuff. So we've got a toolbox, and we really start with the financial plan and the investments with everybody. We know that's what most people come to us for, is to get organized and get their investments in good shape. And then we just like to kind of earn the right to be heard over time and just be in relationship with those folks. Our advisors have great deep relationships with folks, and then just have those conversations as appropriate over the life of those client relationships. But often that's decades. So
right. Well, and this is something you kind of experienced firsthand.
Yeah,
Just because the message is there, you may not be ready to hear it.
Well said.
So you got to kind of keep reminding people of the message, and when they're ready, they'll hear it.
Yeah, and the way I always say it, Lee, is, you know, we're just one beggar showing another beggar where they got a little bread. You know, we're not trying to dictate what anybody should be feeling or doing or anything like that. We kind of think of ourselves, our advisors, we're the guide. And the client's the hero, if you think of it like a story or a movie, you know? And so we've really got pretty high capacity clients that really have amazing God-given talents. And we're just kind of coming alongside them as the money people, really trying to be their ally in the financial space, kind of an outsourced family office kind of person. And you just want to walk it out with them. Right. So we've got the technical expertise in the financial area, but we want to be like-minded and just point them in the right direction when they ask for it and are ready for it.
So what's your father think of this transformation?
Well, unfortunately, he passed away when I became an advisor in 95. And the way I think about it is, you know, growing up, I always thought, man, being a pastor is a tough gig. You know, my dad worked a ton. He actually wrote his, because he had that business background, he wrote his doctoral thesis on how to run the church more efficiently with using business principles. So he kind of became Mr. Fix-It for the Presbyterian Church. And I think it's ironic because I didn't ever feel called to work for the church. But, you know, my dad brought business principles to the church. And I feel like I'm bringing church principles to business. So it's sort of weird, like all those young people out there that don't want to end up like their parents. Sometimes you just do. And I'm a fortunate. I kind of hit the lottery on fathers. So I just really admired my dad a lot. And I know he's looking down and probably enjoying this ride with me.
So now when you decided to make this pivot and focus I at least as much on the why as the money part of the yeah. of things with your clients, were financial advisors or other team members, were they kind of on board with that, or did you lose some and you gain some?
That's such a good question, Lee. I'll tell you a little story. In 2010, one of my mentors is a guy named Ron Blue. He's written a bunch of books, nearly 20 books on kind of the Bible and money. Okay. And he, you know, he's in his 70s and he started an organization called Kingdom Advisors. And it's a nonprofit for any advisors out there that kind of want to implement biblical wisdom into their practice. It's a great organization to learn about those principles and how to do that. Well, he became a mentor of mine. He asked me to be a coach for the Kingdom Advisor coaching program. And we would fly, about 50 advisors would fly to Atlanta once a quarter, kind of one of these noon to noon conferences. Well, I said, hey, back then I said, hey, Ron, I'm as much a player as I am a coach. Would you kind of disciple, mentor me in the mornings, and then we'll go coach these other folks? And he did that, Lee, generously for me for about 2 years. And there was a moment I had of total clarity about kind of what the kind of refinement of this calling from God. Literally, while we were sitting together in 2010 in the Airport Hilton in Atlanta, having a cup of coffee, we're the only ones in this little coffee shop. I felt like God saying, I want you to scale what this guy started. And I literally looked over my shoulders. I was like, it wasn't audible, but like I heard it in my head. And it was like my marching orders from God. Ron had built a firm, but never intended to scale it. And I felt like I'd spent 25 years of my career in scaled environments. So I knew what those looked like, but I also knew there was a better, deeper way to go. And so some of those smaller firms were doing a better job of, like you say, identifying the why. So I said, imagine if we marry a business plan of scale with all the technical expertise and investment expertise of the big firms, but marry that also kind of with the high IQ, with the high EQ, right? To kind of identify that why. And so this is sort of the vision we've been on. So I actually spent about 6 years trying to scale it within Morgan Stanley. We partnered with about 50 advisors within the firm. But finally, the platform just wasn't built for what we were trying to do, and we needed to launch this thing. So there's about, there's about 3,000 members of Kingdom Advisors, a little over that, and it's grown a lot over the last 10 years. And we think there's about 300,000 people who sell securities in the United States, and we think about 10% of those think the Bible's pretty true. So there's probably 30,000 advisors that should hear about what Archetype does. And those are the ones we're kind of interested in. If they really want to do really good planning and investments, very good, what we call left brain technical planning, the way the big firms teach it, but then marry that with kind of the high EQ going deeper with families. That's what we're trying to do, is kind of build an army and a big new firm nationwide that will just address both sides. The technical.
So you're actively looking for financial advisors that kind of
fit that mold.
Right, that fit the mold.
Yeah. Yeah, we are. Yeah, that's kind of the vision. And we're not taking any private equity money to do it. It's professional services, so it doesn't require a lot of capital. It requires mostly people, intellectual capital and people. So we're really trying to get the word out there that we exist for business owners that are selling their businesses, who want an advisor with that kind of worldview and expertise. And then we're also on the other side recruiting advisors who want to serve people in that way.
Now, when you're talking to a person that is trusting you with their wealth, mm-hmm. and you're kind of explaining this, let's think in terms of legacy, mm-hmm. and kind of what kind of dent do you want to make in the universe? What are some of the kind of the practical ways that comes into fruition? So like, what are some of the things that people pick and say, okay, I want to start a nonprofit, or I want to support this group, or how do you kind of help them at first even identify what that path is? And then do you help them execute and kind of make that into a reality?
Yeah, that's a great question, Lee. If we just went on the street and picked 100 people off the street and asked them, what's your purpose? Probably maybe one of them could answer that succinctly, I've been very fortunate to have lots of mentors in my life that have kind of helped me do that. And so just as an example, and this is kind of what the Trading Up book that I wrote, Moving from Success to Significance on Wall Street, is about, is sort of my journey of figuring out my calling. And so, like I said, we're just kind of one beggar showing another beggar where they got food in the process. And I read a book called Halftime that was very helpful to me. And Bob Buford wrote that book many years ago. He's no longer with us, but he's upstairs watching also. And he talked about selling his company and then figuring out something to do to kind of give back. And he always kind of regretted. He actually formed a nonprofit called Halftime that'll help folks figure out their purpose and do that. So we send some folks their way, but we're willing to have those conversations ourselves. We know we're more the money technical people, but we're willing to kind of be on this journey and find other guides along the way to point people to. But my calling is to help high capacity families uncover their God-given purpose and give them oxygen to live it out. So we're really a company full of people with that calling. And that's the kind of thing we're trying to help our families define. One of the questions we'll ask them is, what breaks your heart? I think of a lady, as soon as I say that, I think of a client of ours who, she is, what breaks her heart is human trafficking, our company's based in Houston, Texas. Unfortunately, this is one of the hubs for that because we're so close to the border. And so her purpose is really to expose that and expunge that. Okay. I'll be on a call later with some friends with a friend that founded Hope International. It's a Christian microfinance company that helps entrepreneurs in third world countries get financing and become entrepreneurs. Everybody has something in them that breaks their heart, a purpose in life. And I would say one of the big, we've got 12 principles as a firm. We don't have time to get into them all. But one of the things we talk about is legacy now. Legacy, we believe, is not something that you leave when you die. We think it's something that you build during life. So it's, Bob Buford, who wrote Halftime, always was a little bit sad that people interpreted that, your first half of your career is maybe about success and the back half is about significance. You know, he would argue, and we would argue, that all of it should be about significance. So thinking about your legacy now, what can you do to be giving to your community, to your family, including your family in giving back to the community? How do you do that? How do you do that within your company? How do you do that with your employees? How do you include your customers in all of that? So just thinking holistically about identifying this purpose and then including everybody you've got influence with along the way. So let's enjoy it. One of the things that my mentor Ron Blue always says is, give it while you're living so you're knowing where it's going. Right. So do it while you're alive. It's no fun to give away money when you're dead. It's way more fun to do it while you're alive.
Right. But I think that some people have a fear, like they need the money, so they don't want to risk it. So they're afraid to take that step to kind of live into that legacy now.
Yeah. And it's not all about money. You know, one of the things we talk about is, you know, there are different kinds of capital, right? If you're going to leave a legacy, yeah, there's financial capital, but there's also intellectual capital, right? I mean, sending your kids or grandkids to college, perhaps. There's spiritual capital. You know, what do you teach them about the spiritual realm and eternity and God and Jesus and those kind of things? So there are there's relational capital. You know, a lot of people can help their families and friends, get employment, build good relationships, all these kind of things. And frankly, if you had to bankrupt one of those, you know, most people, when we talk to them, they go, well, the money's less important than all these other kinds of capital. So even if you don't have a lot of money to give away and you need most of that to live on, number one, we would suggest, you know, giving a little bit away, just even a tithe, a 10%, something like that, even if you don't think you can afford it, it's amazing how God can use that. But even if that's all you do and you never do any more than that, all these other capitals are way more important. God's given you a lot more gifts than just the money to benefit the world and those around you.
Now, you mentioned the book, Trading Up, Moving from Success to Significance on Wall Street, and that's your story. In that kind of illustrates some of those 12 principles.
Yeah, we talk a lot about that. It's just, you know, I like stories, Lee, I love reading biographies and hearing people's stories, and you're fortunate. This is what you get to do for a living. You're talking to people about their stories, you know, and there's a reason this podcast is so popular, right? People love to hear stories. And so for me, it was just one of these things where God just was so generous with me. He was so patient with me when I was like kind of hoarding my money, frankly, and looking at that for my security. And then sort of having that turn, and where he really, as I started leaning into asking, as you say, what's my why, as he sort of really delivered that directly to me, man, the alignment, really the number one principle I'd love people to take away from this podcast and certainly the book is, you know, I wanted to do things my way for a long time, thinking, frankly, they'd be more fun. And when I really got in closer alignment with God's purpose, wow, it was way more fun than doing it my way. So I'm just kind of an addict for God's purpose and the alignment and the fun it is, frankly, the fun it is to be in full alignment with God's purpose. So if we can do that in where we're called to be as a company is really the high capacity folks that have excess resources. And our industry has done a poor job of serving those people. They tend to go very technical, selling those people technical investments and that kind of thing. And we love that. We love talking about investments. But really what's more important is their why. And so we just want to be open to that conversation.
And then offer them more of a holistic service.
Exactly. Exactly.
So now, what are some clues? I mean, you mentioned the what breaks your heart as a clue that maybe you're on the right path. But what are some other clues for a person to really determine the direction if they want to pursue their why? That there are some breadcrumbs saying that you're on the right path.
Well, we're rolling out a series of webinars on just that, and they're on transition. So a lot of our clients come to us when there's a business being sold or they're retiring or changing jobs. You know, for us, it's we're managing money, so it's money in motion, right? So, and usually when there's a transition going on, you start, you have a little downtime to think about these things. And so, you know, we're doing it on the radio here. So it's a, but we do kind of two Venn diagrams. One of the things we do is we talk about defining your calling as the intersection of three circles. One of those is it has to be God honoring, right? It's got to be a good thing, right? And I use the example of singing, for example. So, okay, if you're singing hymns or praise songs or whatever, that can be a God-honoring activity. That's great. Well, the other circle is you got to have a passion for it, kind of the what breaks your heart, as we talked about earlier. Okay, so you have to have a passion for it. Okay, so, you know, I enjoy music and God-honoring music. I have a passion for it. The problem is the third circle is talent. I don't have any talent, Lee, in singing. So that is not my calling. Okay. And that's my wife's calling. She's got all three and I just love it. And people are blessed by hearing her sing. That's wonderful. And then I would say, so once you sort of define that calling, and then I would sort of draw an arrow to another three circle Venn diagram where you say, okay, now let's take that calling as one of the circles and let's intersect it with your job description and the culture of your business. And now you're really cooking with gas. If you can find a job, whether you're the boss or you're working for a company, where if your thing, you know, is to be out there talking to people and really blessing them verbally, maybe sharing the gospel, whatever it is, well, you probably shouldn't be sitting behind a desk adding up numbers all day. Right. You probably need to be maybe a salesperson or business development or something where you're out there talking to people all day. You need to be in front of folks. And then I would say the culture business, the culture of the business also that has to allow you to live out both your talents from an earthly perspective and your spiritual kind of calling. So how do you sort of take this God-given calling and translate it with also your just kind of your earthly gifts of what you're good at and find a place to live out that calling in the workplace as well. There's plenty of places to do it after work or weekends and that kind of thing in your personal life. But we're really big on integrating that. If you're going to be working, why not spend a lot of those waking hours doing it in a meaningful way? So trying to translate that.
Well, in your work, do you have any kind of memorable story that you can share? I wouldn't name any names,
yeah,
but
sure,
just
sure.
A person that you've kind of seen to maybe take this leap and really kind of level up.
Yeah, I mean, it's so much fun. There's so many. I'll just tell you one story. We've had a client for 20 years. And, you know, and like I say, they come in all different shapes and sizes and are ready for this message at a different time. We've got one who, you know, we met when their company went public, you know, 20 years ago, and they, made more money than they ever dreamed, but they were really had a military background, this gentleman, and he had gotten married later in life and, you know, it had been in Vietnam and really seen some horrific things there, but very bravely served our country and, you know, married later in life, never had kids. And, unfortunately his wife died of cancer a few years ago and he was just very distraught by that. And really kind of searching for his purpose. And, you know, we were just, because of this long relationship, really, we didn't talk about the why really much for 15 years until his wife got sick. And then kind of to your point, people are ready at different times. You know, we just started talking about, you know, what could he do from a legacy perspective and why has God put him through these kind of things? And, you know, he really accepted Christ for the first time at my, in my office. You know, we were just talking about these things, you know, and the tragic loss of his wife led to him being open to talk about these things. And it's led to a legacy discussion for lots of his extended family. and nieces and nephews and college for them and all kinds of things. So it doesn't always have to be a big external thing. Sometimes it's an internal transformation of kind of connecting with, you know, why God made you. And then what can you do to bless other people? We've got all kinds of folks that run different companies. We've got people that run shipping companies this guy is an amazing evangelist, and he puts evangelistic signs on the sides of his trucks. We've got a client who runs a chicken company, and when the PETA protesters come, he serves them fresh water. I mean, it's just incredible to watch. God's just been so generous to us to bring us all of these business owners and high capacity folks to just walk alongside and point things out that we hope are pointing them in the right direction.
Well, Jeff, if somebody wants to get a hold of the book, or maybe they're an advisor that wants to learn more about your firm, or maybe they're a business owner that has that wealth in motion that wants to talk to you and feels the calling to do that, what's the best website?
Thank you. Yeah, the website is archetypewealth.com. archetypewealth.com. If you're an advisor, there's a place to click on a link that we can talk to you about joining our firm. Or if you're a client who wants to talk about the transition you're in, you can find us there. And then the book can be also found on the website, but it's got its own website address you can go to, which is just tradingupbook.com. And it's also on Audible on Amazon.
Thank you so much, Jeff, for sharing your story today. Amazing work that you're doing. We really appreciate everything your firm believes in, and we really support you. This is Lee Cantor. We will see you all next time on High Velocity Radio.